Now we're going to change the pace a little bit different, and we're certainly not going to have a sad hour. We're going to be talking about grief and bereavement. I have in front of me a man named Bob Rich. Some of you will know Bob. He's a professional man, but he's written a book, The Hole in Your Life, and we want to talk about that. But first of all, welcome, Bob.
Thank you, Alan.
Look, it's great to have you along. We need to set this up a little bit. The reason that you wrote this book is that you lost your daughter?
Yes.
At what sort of age was your daughter, Bob?
She was 56.
56. So
a young Sheila.
Won't allow you Sheila anymore. So 56. So had you written the book before she died, or have you written it since?
Well, this is my 20th book.
Right.
The first one was the Earth Garden Building Book, Design and Build Your House.
Yep.
Telling people how to build houses because I started by not knowing.
Yep.
And it went on from there.
Yep.
But, look, my mother died in 2000.
Yep.
And I wanted to write a book in her honour.
So before your daughter died?
Yeah.
Yep.
In the year 2000.
Yep.
And it took me 2 years before I could even look at the materials.
Yep.
My dear daughter died in December 24.
Yep.
And I was immediately over it. I could joke, I could live my life. Look, I mean, I miss her. I'll miss her for the rest of my life. But that terrible dragon of grief isn't chewing at me.
So why the difference, Bob? Why was your mother so profound, the death, as opposed to your daughter?
Because my knowledge about psychology was fairly green at the time.
Right.
And all the experience in between, offering support to people in all sorts of terrible situations,
yep,
means I had a whole set of ways of thinking and behaving,
yep,
which I then applied to myself.
Right. So,
and that's the reason for my book.
Yep.
I want to be of service by sharing this to help other people to ease their pain.
Understand that, and that's why we're discussing it. With your mother, did she die suddenly, or were you expecting your mother to die?
I was expecting my mother to die for about a year.
Yep.
When it often happens when your partner dies. Unless you're relieved.
I'm not.
You soon go after. So I set her a task. I'm going to write your biography, get her the materials. And that kept her going for a year.
Yep.
And she died at the end of that year.
All right. So with your daughter, did your daughter die suddenly, or was it over? And did you expect it, or was it over a long period of time also?
My daughter got inoperable cancer.
How long before she died, Bob?
19 months. So I had 19 months of advance grieving.
Yep.
And that's one of the reasons I could do it quickly. You know? If a truck had run over it, I'm sure it would have been, longer. But anyway, it's not a race. It's not a question of how long.
Oh, no.
But how well. And how you come out at the other end. That's the most important
part. Some people take years. Pardon me, from what I understand, and I've seen through friends, that some are over it fairly quickly, and it doesn't mean they had any lack of respect or love for that person. Other people, it takes years.
Mm.
I know.
The average is about 2 years.
Yep.
But whatever it takes, some people have healthy grieving for 4 years,
yep,
but you can also be stuck in grief.
Yep. Yes, yeah. Yeah, and they tell me that. It's quite easy. I mean, obviously, I've lost my mother and father and in-laws and that along the way. And some, just for some reason, you find it easier. And probably the first one is the hardest because you just don't know what to expect, do you? And you don't know how you should be reacting.
Well, my first one was at 7.
At 7? Gee. Was that a family member?
Well, when I was a little toddler.
Yep.
My family were forced to be Hitler's guests in the Budapest ghetto.
Oh, yeah.
And in order to qualify for one extra room, my grandmother's oldest maiden sister became part of our family.
Right.
And she was the angel of my life because I was the child of her life and the child of her heart, and I liked it.
Yeah.
And then when she died in 1951, my mother said, "Dear Aunt Yonka has gone to God." And I thought, if even she leaves me, then no one could possibly love me.
Oh, right.
And so that is one of the reasons I had lifelong depression. And that's one of the reasons I was very good as a in counselling psychology, because I'm a fellow traveller.
Oh, right.
And I know where you are.
Yep.
I can feel it in my heart, so I can lead you out.
I was going to say strange, but that's not the word. Something you touched on there reminded me that I know a person who lost their loved one, their partner, and one of the things that they're most annoyed about is that they died and left them. They found that harder than the fact that the person's not here. They almost say, well, they do say, "Why did you leave me?"
Mm-hmm. That's very frequent.
Is it?
It is. It's, there are various ways of thinking and behaving while you're processing your grief, and that's a natural part.
Bob, I'm going to take a quick break and we'll be back with more.
Ronald King Men's Land has been trading for 60 years and still supplying great quality menswear at affordable prices. This iconic family business is now purveying the new winter ranges at their new store, located at 83 Main Street, Croydon. It's time to update your wardrobe in quality and affordable style. Beautiful knitwear, great jeans and chinos, rugged jackets and smart shirts. Choose from classic styles and worn and true labels. Be warm and feel great when you shop at Ronald King Men's Land. Station sponsor.
Hi, I'm Mandy from Healesville and you're listening to my favourite radio station, Yarra Valley FM 99.1.
Want to cut your energy bills and claim big rebates? Total Solar Solutions can help. Station sponsors Total Solar Solutions makes switching to solar affordable with Victorian government rebates on solar batteries, hot water and air conditioning. Reduce your bills, increase your energy independence and start saving today. Visit our showroom at 3 Nicole Close Bayswater North or call Total Solar Solutions. Your local experts in smart, sustainable energy.
just need a better man.
Some of the ladies listening might agree with that. It was Becky Cole and a better woman. I don't need to be a better woman. I just need to be a better man. Now, Bob, I'm talking to Bob. He's written a book, The Whole of Your Life. And it's
All in Your Life?
The Whole in Your Life, yeah. And it changes the complexity of all together. And he's written, it's about grief and bereavement, but he tells me he's written around 20 books. But, Bob, just before we get onto the book, and I know it's a self-help book and other things, but you weren't always... what sort of jobs did you have as you progressed through your life?
Well, when I was at school, I wanted to be a physicist.
Yep.
Arrived at university and physics was all about atom.
Yep.
Nuclear physics,
yep.
Which horrified me.
Yep.
And it still does.
Yep.
And so I switched to psychology, did a PhD in psychology.
Yep.
And it was on memory, but I can't remember.
Right.
Yeah, that's something you have to know about me. I'm a grumpy old man.
Yep.
I have no sense of humour. But I demonstrate other people have humour because, like you, they laugh at me.
Well, fair enough.
So there you go.
Anyway,
so I went into research.
Yep.
My last...
What sort of research, Bob?
Cognitive psychology about thinking, but pretty versatile.
Yep.
At the CSIRO, my main job was designing and administering questionnaires.
Designing and questionnaires?
Yeah.
Who for, Bob?
Oh, well, for example, they were doing some energy conservation research.
Yeah.
So they'd have to go out to different homes. I would design a questionnaire, an interview form, train the interviewer, supervise them, do it myself to write up the results. Or we'd be involved in privacy issues or home safety, various things like that.
So you're actually writing the questions. So as a researcher, where did you get the questions from? You just sort of gradually brought them out.
There's a standard procedure.
Oh, is there?
Yeah, anybody can ask questions,
yep.
But to make up an unbiased, valid questionnaire is quite a skill, but it's part of my training.
Bob, also, when you're doing a survey, do you ask the same question a couple of times to make sure they didn't lie to you in the first question?
There are various tricks like that, and you vary whether you're after the positive or the negative for a particular response. But anyway, I decided to retire at 35 years of age because I'm one of these environmentalists. You know these greenies?
Yeah, the greenies.
And every dollar you earn, every dollar you spend is a dollar you steal from the future.
Right.
And I had young children and I wanted them to have a future.
Yeah.
So in 1972, I did some side research in futurology, not Nostradamus, but taking current trends and extending them to see where they lead. And the result horrified me because I predicted today's world.
Did you?
Yeah. So, and it's quite true. What I said is it's still the most important thing is to live simply so you may simply live.
Yeah.
Because there's no more future to be stolen.
Yeah, yeah.
This is it.
All right. So then you moved on from that, though, didn't you, to other jobs?
Well, when I retired, I wanted to build my house and I needed some money. So what I did was, I mean, I was not born with a silver hammer in my hand.
Yeah.
My stepfather's assessment me was, if something can be done the wrong way, or even if it can't, he'll do it that way first. Anyway, so I got a series of builder's labourer's jobs, you know, first with a concreter and a carpenter, and, you know, all right around the building trades. And I applied them to my house. But also I wrote them up in a marvellous magazine, the Earth Garden magazine. Unfortunately, that's died of old age.
Right.
But that was my start to writing.
Yep.
And for years, from 1980 until about 2022, something like that, when the magazine died of old age. I had a byline column.
So then you moved on from that job, like you built your house. What did you do then, Bob?
Then I had unemployment for a couple of years. I just couldn't get into anything, which was very good for me later on when I was doing psychological counselling.
Right.
So you couldn't say, I'm a professional, you know, I look down on you. I'm just one of you.
You just, you knew unemployment,
And then I got training as a nurse.
Yeah.
Worked as a nurse.
Yeah. Interested in general hospital?
Well, mostly in nursing homes and then also agency.
Oh, yeah.
But, and that toughened me up.
Right.
You know, I said earlier, and I had too much empathy, but in nursing, two rules are, you're not there to share the pain, but to relieve it. And with psychological therapy, it's even more. You're not even there to relieve it. You empower your client to relieve it.
Oh, I can understand the difference,
And the second one is, it's not, you know, you need to care for the carer first.
Yes, and very often the carer is the last to get cared for, aren't they? Yep. I've got to take a quick break, Bob, and we'll be back with more.
Well, I know lots of the in crowd. I like to think I'm one. I spend all my winters in sand mornings just blazing in the sun. So I bought this 78 Playmate, a brand new MGB, but some guy who could dance kept a gun in his pants, stole her away from me. And mama tell me why some people have all. Designer jeans, and I once met Marlon Brando. I even bought a drink for the Aga Khan, but he would not shake my hand. Oh, mama made me happy. Send me lots more cash. Don't worry, I saw the Midnight Express 36 times, and I know. Rocky's yacht to take her sailing out on sea. She said, you know me, honey, I'd love to come. Can I bring my boyfriend with me? So there we all were in Bermuda, soaking up our Hollywood tans. But they kicked over my castle and they sprayed me with sand. I said, mama, I don't understand why.
Some guys dancing, some guys running. Some people have all the guns.
So, Bob, you've had a number of jobs along the way, and some are part-time and some of them are just short-term. What made you decide that you wanted to do counselling?
It's my joy if I can be of benefit.
Right.
One of my clichés, I've got lots of them, is one of them is the more you give, the more you get, and also the more you give, the more you grow.
Yeah, yep.
And the aim of life is spiritual development.
Yep.
So, and...
So...
How do you become a Buddha or a Jesus?
Yep.
You're an apprentice, you do as if you were. You do your best to pretend.
So... Did you just one day think to yourself, I should give this counselling a try, or was it a progression over many years?
Well, for a start, my original training included some.
Yep.
And then I attended a Master in Counselling Psychology at Monash University.
Right.
And started small and built up. And I was a nurse at the time, and... It was, you know, very easy to stick with the nursing. But then I slipped and tore a tendon in my shoulder.
Oh, yeah.
Which was my unconscious telling me that I needed to get out of nursing and start with the counseling.
To try something else. Yeah. So.
And so in time, I was the person referrers sent the most difficult cases to. And sometimes other psychologists send people through to me. Right. And I was on the executive of the Australian Psychological Society's College of Counselling Psychologists.
Right.
And then 3 years as an elected director of the Australian Psychological Society.
So... Then you decided to set up your own practice in counselling, didn't you?
Well, no, that was in 1986 I started.
Right. And, all right, so what made you, like you've written 20 books and they're all on various parts of what you've done, like how you're built and a lot of those.
No, about half of them are fiction.
Right, so about 10 of them. What made you at one stage say, I think I'll write a book?
I tore a cartilage in my knee. I was making mud bricks for my house.
Yep.
And it was winter, so I was wearing gumboots. Mm. And this deputation of teenagers kidnapped me.
Yeah.
Because they were having a boys versus girls soccer game and needed one more male.
Right.
So, of course, I slipped on the mud.
Yep.
Ended up in hospital board witless.
Yep.
So I borrowed the typewriter and wrote an article for Earth Garden magazine about how I made mud bricks. And that took off.
You're lying in bed, so you could have done anything. You could have sat and read a book, could have done anything. What in your brain said to you, Bob, get off your backside and write a book?
I think I was born a teacher.
Right, yep.
I've never done teaching. Well, yes, I have. At one stage for several years, I ran an owner builder's course, building with mud bricks,
yep,
through Holmescombe College of TAFE.
Yep.
But that was adult education.
Do they build me? I was down the peninsula only yesterday, and I walked past a mud brick house. Do they still build them in mud brick? I haven't seen one in mud brick for a long while.
No, it's gone out of fashion. If I was building now, I'd build with straw bale. But I'm going to upbraid you. We're supposed to be talking about my book.
Yes, that's right. We are.
See, I'm a grumpy old man. I don't have a sense of humour. But I made you laugh, didn't I?
I've got a good sense of humour. All right. Well, we've been talking about what made you write these books. So now you've written this book, The Hole in Your Life. Was that based on your daughter or on your mother or both?
It's based on my decades of experience in providing therapy to people who are suffering.
Right.
It's my joy to be of service.
Yep.
And so one of the techniques, if you can call it that, for coping with grief is to put a silver lining around it, to get some benefit from it.
Right.
And I've written this book to reduce suffering for other people.
Yep.
So, if I may just say this, you need this book when your world has fallen apart, whether because someone you love has died or you lost your job or, you know, you found your partner in somebody else's bed or whatever reason. If complete disaster's overtaken your life, the techniques I describe will help you to cope.
So let me just go back a stage and pick up something that you've just said.
Mm-hmm.
It's grief and bereavement, but you're not necessarily only talking about the death, are you? Like you just said about finding your partner in someone else's bed. So do they run sort of parallel, do they?
Well, grief, the technical definition of grief is an emotional reaction to a loss. If you and I have a friendly game of chess and you beat me, I might have 30 seconds of grief.
Mm-hmm.
I probably won't. I'll congratulate you, but somebody might, you know? Competitive might. And at the other end is, you know, my book has, originally when I started it, it was based around a pair of real people, a real couple.
Yep.
And she was a little bit negligent and he was a little bit careless. And as a direct result, their little toddler son died a horrific death.
Right.
So the book traces their progress through.
Yep.
Not only did they resolve their grief, but they got back together as a couple.
Oh, right.
And they blame me for it.
They blame you for getting back together.
Yeah. And then when my daughter died, I rewrote the book and done this anatomical miracle. It now has two skeletons. There's still their story there and my story.
And your story in there as well. Yeah. Bob, how difficult was it to write it when you started to put in your own, about your own daughter?
It just raced.
Sorry?
It just raced. It zoomed through.
Did it?
Took me a few weeks. Well, about two-thirds of the book was already written.
Yeah.
But I rewrote that part and finished the incomplete parts in a few weeks.
Right, so let me just ask you, how hard, and I'm talking about emotionally now, not how hard to actually do it, how hard was it, or how much easier was it to write when you were talking about this other couple as opposed to writing about your own daughter?
About the same. Okay. I'm cursed with too much empathy.
Are you?
But look, when my mother died in 2000... I wrote her biography, which is not because she was my mother, but because she was an extraordinary woman who achieved the impossible more than once and survived the unsurvivable, including the men she loved, transporting her son, me, to Australia for the term of my natural life.
But did she come with you?
No. He kept her behind. So that was the unsurvivable.
Right. Mm. So at what age did you come out?
I turned 14 in Sydney.
Gee.
And it was coming home, basically. I didn't know it at the time.
Did you?
But a few lives ago, I was an Irishman transported to Australia.
Yep.
After the Irish Rebellion of 1798.
So you felt as though when you got here, you'd come.
Well, I had past life recourse in 2007.
Right.
And then I wrote up the book as a fictionalized autobiography, which is one of my books.
Yep.
It's called Ascending Spiral, because you go around and around life after life, but inevitably it goes up.
All right. So.
But anyway, my mother's biography.
Yeah.
Only called A Stranger Who Loved Me is the book that's won the most awards.
Is it?
Six of my books has won awards, but that's got four.
Gee, that's terrific, isn't it?
Yeah.
So do you self-publish these books or do you have a publisher that publishes them?
I have books with three different small publishers and a few I've self-published. Yep. And then some of those self-published books are circulated by one of my publishers.
Oh, yeah.
And this fellow calls his company Loving Healing Press. So we get on.
Oh, that's good. So when you wrote this book, I'm talking about the one now, Grief and Bereavement, which is what yes. we mainly talk about. How hard did you find to get that published? Did you get it published easy because you'd already written 19 other books? Or
well, I just sent it off to Loving Healing Press,
yep.
who has published several of my other books, yep. and also I do editing for him.
Yep.
Of course, I'm not taking on new clients, but I'm still an editor.
Right. So.
So I had another book on the waiting list for him. He said, all right, we'll just replace it. Yep. And I sent it to him in March. It was out by June.
Gee, that's terrific. Did you find that it's a bit hard to ask you this, but with a publisher, when you're writing about, say, building with mud bricks, did you find it harder to get one that was about grief and bereavement?
Oh, no. Look, I can live in lots of compartments.
Right.
The Earth Garden magazine, where I submitted my little essays.
Yep.
The publisher already had 8 books out, so we collaborated. He and I wrote the book together.
Yep.
And then the company we published with got bought out by Penguin.
You're right.
And then that book went through 4 editions.
Yep.
Between 1986 and 2018, and sold hundreds of thousands of copies.
I've got to take a quick break and then we'll come back with more. We're going to ask you where people can get these books from. Now, Bob, the book that you've written is The Hole in Your Life. It's about grief and bereavement. But is it as a self-help book? Like, are you suggesting that people who have lost somebody in the last little while and suffering with it, they're the people that should be reading this book?
Well, I think people should be reading this book before they fall into the deepest hole.
Right.
So they have the tools handy.
Yep.
I mean, the reason I could use them is that I was proficient with it. I know how to do these things.
Yep. So...
Look, if you have a shred of empathy, listening to the daily news is enough to make you want to jump off the planet.
Oh, yeah, I'd agree with that.
And the tools in my book is what I use to cope with that.
Right. So where is that book available now, Bob?
The best way is if you do a search for Dr. Bob Rich bobbing around.
Dr. Bob Rich.
That's me.
Yeah.
R-I-C-H. And bobbing around is my blog.
Yeah.
And Wacko, you'll jump onto my blog.
And so you sell the books yourself? Like
No. All the information is there.
Oh, right.
And here is something. If you send me proof of purchase of any of my books, I'll email you a free book of your choice, of my other titles.
Gee, that's
unless you want the same one.
So I guess the other thing I'm going to ask you, though, first, Bob, is to how much the book is.
Well, the paperback book on Amazon is $34.
Yeah.
If you track me down, I'll personally sell you one for $30 and I'll even sign it. Yep. But that's because I think money often costs more than it's worth.
Right.
I'm not at all keen on money.
Are you?
No.
Trouble is you need it to live.
Yeah, just the barest minimum.
So you can buy it through Amazon and...
Or I don't think it's on Kobo yet, but Google Books and I think Apple Books at this stage.
Now, it's called The Hole in Your Life.
Hole in Your Life, Grief and Bereavement.
Yep, so people need to look for that. And give us your contact again, what it was, Bob Rich.
Well, the Bob blog is bobswriting.com.
Writing.
Sorry. Wrong. That's my website. My blog is Bobbing Around.
Oh, Bobbing Around. And what was your website again, please?
No, Bobbing Around is the main place.
So go to Bobbing Around and I'll find it.
So if you do a search for Dr. Bob Rich Bobbing Around, you might also find it if you do a search for Professional Grandfather. Because that's what I am.
So you've got something there on as a professional grandfather too.
Well, I have hundreds and hundreds of grandchildren all over the planet.
But I don't understand how you can have hundreds of grandchildren. You need to explain that to us.
Well, all sentient beings are my family. So I'm happy to accept you as a younger brother. You only need to apply.
So, that sounds fair. That's a pretty... So you don't have to be blood relative. You can be a grandchild of Dr. Bob.
Well, we're all blood relatives back to the primordial little microscopic thing that started evolving.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So that's fair enough. So it's The Hole in Your Life. We need to get this out there so that people know what they're looking for. And Google Bobbing Around, and they're going to find a way to get your book.
And my reason for wanting everybody to read this book is that it does relieve suffering.
Right. And I must be honest, when I read Grief and Bereavement, I thought of only death, but you've brought this other about the partner in it.
Yeah.
So
if someone steals my bike, that'll be a source of grief.
Yeah, but it'll be shorter than finding a partner with someone else.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess it's a sense of loss, isn't it? It's a sense of loss.
Yes. Grief is the emotional reaction to a loss. Yep. Bereavement is grief for a dead person.
Right. So bereavement is more of a person. Grief can be anything. Hadn't actually thought of that. So
there you go. It's a good day when you learn something new.
Absolutely. So what's your next book, Bob? What's number 21?
I've got a science fiction series
Yep.
Which I'm pestering agents with at the moment, but they're most uncooperative.
Are they? Well, why? Because they think science fiction is...
No. Look, in 1999, I attended a publishing conference, and the fellow from Penguin said, we can publish one book for every 1,000 that we're propositioned with. Right. 1 in 1,000 in 1999, it's worse now.
Is it?
Yeah.
So they're getting hit with new books almost daily.
So basically, you need a miracle. You'd be better off buying a lottery ticket.
Well, you've pardon me, you've used up your luck because you've done 20 of them.
Yes, but I want this one with a big publisher again. My first one was with Penguin.
Yep.
In my unbiased opinion, this book will join Harry Potter. Or my hero will.
That's
will
a
join
big call. That's a big call.
So I want it up there, and it's also my tool for changing the world.
Is it?
Yep.
That's this new book that you're hoping to sell. Yeah. In the next.
See, we're in the sixth extinction event of Earth, mainly because of greed and aggression.
Right.
And we need to convert society into one of compassion, cooperation, decency, which is basically what all the religions have told us through the ages.
Yep. So do you find we're becoming a more intolerant country or world than what we were, say, 50 years ago?
No. I think there are two trends.
Yep.
And in the 70s, when I was protesting... It was passion against money, and money won.
Yeah.
This time, if passion doesn't win, then everybody loses, including the money bags. They'll go just as extinct as the rest of us.
So you're out there with your placard where you're in the 70s?
Hmm.
Right. In protesting about any particular thing, Bob, or just...
Well, at the time it was Vietnam, wasn't it?
Yep. Did you go to Vietnam?
No, I didn't get called up.
Yep.
If I had, I would have gone.
Yep.
And I would have ended up as a different person.
Yep. And I think that's a fair comment because I had friends that went. I was lucky enough not to get called up. And so a lot of them came back completely different people, didn't they?
But then I've done a lot of therapy work with veterans.
Have you?
Yeah. And also with other service traumatised people like police and Centrelink workers. They get terribly traumatised.
Do they?
Yeah.
Because I've had the police in a number of times, and when they tell you, particularly when we're not on air, about the different even actions that they appear. I mean, some of those guys see stuff that we will never see and wouldn't want to ever see.
Well, actually, one of my case studies is a policeman.
Is it?
Mm.
Bob, we've got to go. It's been terrific talking to you. The Hole in Your Life, Grief and Bereavement by Bob Rich. Looking for bobbing around. Or bobbing around. You can't get a better sight than that. And find out more about the book.
And thank you for having me here, Alan.
No worries.
Good. And just behave yourself, little brother.
I always do. it's available through Amazon at $34, but if you talk to Bob on bobbing around, he'll do you a bit better deal.